Member Week is here at Lowe's. That means it's time for My Lowe's Rewards members to save big with up to 40% off hundreds of items like appliances, tools, home essentials, and more. Plus, get free standard shipping. Shop these exclusive member-only savings now through October 15th. Not a rewards member? Join for free today. Free standard shipping not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. I'm Juan Castillo, and this is the Electric Drum. Now, today I have in the studio Daryl Menchenko, and he's an inventor. He's invented quite a few things, but right now his main invention is called Teeter Toss, and it is distributed by Gopher Sport. And we're here to talk about his life. He's from New Haven. How you doing, brother?
I'm fine. How you doing?
Get that mic up closer, man.
I'm fine. How you doing?
Very good. Very good. So tell us about yourself. You grew up in New Haven, right?
Yeah.
Get that mic up.
Yeah, I grew up in New Haven. I was born in Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Right.
And my mother moved me here when I was 1 year old. So
make sure you get that mic up.
Everything is out of what I've learned is from New Haven.
Right, right, right. So tell me about your family. Tell me about your family.
Well, my family consisted of my mother, who was an orphan herself. And she was Caucasian, Ukrainian, and Italian. And she ended up meeting my father. And here I am. I was born in Bridgeport.
And your father's African-American?
He's African-American.
Right, right,
and,
right.
But I never met him.
Oh, really? You never met your dad?
Yeah, my mother said what happened was my father used to be a kind of like a cat burglar.
Right.
And he used to do everything by himself. And one day he came to the hotel with a friend of his. And she said he never came back that night.
Wow.
And I told her, I said, yeah, I know what happened to him. I said, she asked me, I said, he got arrested. And
right.
With the technology back then, you didn't know to check the local precincts or anything like that. So that's how she became a single parent.
Right.
You know.
So you came from Bridgeport, right?
Right.
You were born in Bridgeport.
I was born in Bridgeport.
Right. And then you moved to New Haven.
Yep.
So tell me about growing up in New Haven.
Well, everything that I've learned in New Haven. My first memories. It was challenging like everybody else that, you know, don't have the two family members there. So you're kind of like the black, the ugly duckling or the black sheep in the family. And but there was love there by Meltona Higgs was her name. She loved me like I was her own. And my mother being Caucasian with a African mate, she accepted my mother like she was same color as everybody else.
Right.
You know, so, my mother.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
My mother really, you know, I just want to let everybody know. My mother, she had got raped by her uncle. And she told her mother. Her mother never believed her. And that was the case of my mother not trusting Caucasian people.
So
all of her kids are African-American.
Oh, so you got sisters and brothers?
Yeah, I got sisters and brothers.
All right.
But they're all by African-American males.
Right. So you went to school here?
Yep, I went to school. My first school that I went to was a daycare center on the corner of Henry and Orchard. There's a church right there.
Right.
Henry and Dixwell, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Where the old Church's Chicken used to be.
Yeah,
right. Next door to the old, what they call that, the Monterey?
The Monterey. Yeah. Wow. Okay, you're taking us back now,
yeah,
brother.
Yeah, hey, that's where my first memories were. And I went to daycare there, and then Baldwin School before they knocked it down.
Right.
I went there.
So while you now did you go to high school here too, right?
No, I didn't.
You didn't. Okay.
I was a juvenile.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I ended up going to Boys Village. I was a juvenile
in Milford.
In Milford.
Right. I used to work there.
Yep.
Back in the day. Yeah.
I went there in the '70s, and then from there I came back home, got a little education, as they say, and Ben Hunter one day heard me reading.
May you rest in peace, Ben Hunter, my man.
Ben Hunter heard me reading because we were kind of like the sweat hogs, you know.
Okay.
You go to where the dysfunctional kids go, can't pay attention. And then one day I just started reading, And he asked me why did I act the way that I acted? And I said, I really don't know. I said, I'm just trying to fit in. And my focus wasn't on reading, writing. It wasn't on any of that type of stuff. I was just trying to survive, you know.
Yeah.
I never really had anybody tell me they loved me besides my mother. But wow. She was out doing heroin.
Okay.
Yeah, she was a heroin addict.
Right.
She was on the methadone clinic for the longest, 22 years.
Wow. So, yeah, so it was a difficult childhood for you.
Yeah, it was, because you don't get much support. So.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. So you ended up going to high school, Hill House, Wilbur Cross? Where did you
go? No, I ended up going to high school in Valley Regional High School in Deep River, Connecticut.
In Deep River, wow.
And okay. The reason how that came about was I got in trouble again.
Okay.
When I was around 13, I was living with my aunt on Norfolk Street in West Haven. And she got remarried and was moving down to Elkton, Maryland. So I couldn't stay with her anymore. So she asked me, what did I want to do? Since I was already institutionalized from Boys Village, I said, well, I'll go to one of them boarding schools. And the first school was Mount St. John's in Deep River, Connecticut. Mm. They had Beckett Academy across the river. But you got certain privileges at Mount St. John's. And what happened was you got to go to the public school.
Okay.
So I worked hard there for 2 years to get my grades up. And I ended up going to Valley Regional High School, Deep River, Connecticut. And that's where I got my license from. So when I get pulled over, they look at me and they go, what are you doing out here? They don't know the history of how I got there.
Right.
And what I ended up doing was I ended up moving some more paperwork, because once I got on the football team in the public high school, I convinced one of my best friends that, hey, I could live with you if your mother's willing to accept the food stamps.
Okay.
And that could be, and you know, and the money that she gets. I said, I don't want any money. I just want out of this boarding school.
Right.
And I ended up called my state worker up, DCYS then.
Yeah.
And she came out, interviewed me, interviewed the family, and I ended up living in Deep River, Connecticut for over 2 years.
Right, right.
So I graduated from Valley Regional High School in Deep River, Connecticut.
Right. This is one guest to you. I'm speaking with Daryl Menchenko, and he's an inventor. He invented quite a few things. Teeter Toss is one of his inventions that's actually out there right now being sold by Gopher Sport. And we're going to again talk about that in a little while, right? So so you graduated out of high school. So what happens?
Well, right out of high school, what happens was I decided to move out, and one of the my friends on the football team had a father that owned a drugstore, and he had apartments upstairs above the drugstore. And I ended up moving out of the Roberts family house, and then 67 River Street, and I ended up living in Ivoryton. And then I got a job. I got a job at a sheet metal fabricating company in Deep River. It was Champion Tool and Die at the time. And I used to always see the owner. He was self-made, and he used to get in his little Porsche. And, you know, I knew he had did hard work to get there. So I worked under the manager, and I did tapping, deburring, degreasing, anything that had to do with sheet metal. You know, because back then the outlets were steel then. The okay. door panels were steel. Everything's plastic now.
Right.
But back then it was all about the metal. So I used to tap, deburr, degrease, work the... back then they had a little robot arm I used to work. So I worked under the supervisors. I had a lot of, you know, I was the jack of all trades, master of none type deal.
So you were starting to change your life and to change the direction of it, right?
Yeah, I was. I was on survival mode because I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to go. Remember, right. I didn't have any family.
Right.
So I had no choice but to always look forward. I never was able to concentrate on my personal feelings because when you're in survival mode, you don't have time to get emotional and think
right.
for yourself.
Right.
You know, you're just too busy trying to fit in, feed yourself. So what happened was a month and a half, about that summer, I was there at the job for like 7 months. I decided to go and get another job with foundations. They pour the foundations. You have to, you know, carry at least two of the slabs to build the walls for the basement and the foundation for a house. I got the job. It was a Mason cement, you know, asphalt company. And what happened was I used to go home in New Haven on the weekends, and then I needed a ride from Old Saybrook to Deep River. And that was hard to get. And then out there, you work to live and you live to work. Mm. You know, there's nothing, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Either right. you work or you're going to starve to death. So what happened was, and like I said, they don't miss days of work. So I missed that next Monday. I didn't make it. But I knew already what it was going to be. So I decided to make my mind up and move back to New Haven. And I stayed with my sister, my stepsister. And it was bad. Because I thought I was smart.
So things got worse.
It got worse because I thought I was smart. Right. You know, when you go through the high school age, you don't need anybody. You know right. everything. Mm-hmm. So you think. Especially without parents. You think you know everything.
Right.
And I really didn't believe in God. Even okay. though I went to church at St. Paul's on Cross Street from the Elks Club. Right. They own the church now on Chapel Street.
Right.
And I used to go to that little church. I grew up as a Baptist in church. My nana sent me there. And we used to use our money for offering to, you know, where the Stetson Library is. It's a store there. We used to stop and get candy. So after right. our church, we could sit down and watch the cartoons. But she knew what we were doing. But, yeah, I grew up as a Baptist, and I tried to act like I knew what was going on. Until one day I broke down, and I broke down. My revelation came. I was on the bus. I was at Tracy Labor's downtown, and I was on the bus, and they sent me out to Town Fair Tire in West Haven. And, you know, when you got to unload a truckload of tires, dude, you got to have certain skills. You know, they wheel them out to you. They roll them out, and then you try to steer them with your hand. I got on that bus after that job, and I looked like the guy from Trading Places, Eddie Murphy, when he had the Santa Claus suit on.
Right.
I was dirtier than him, and people were looking at me, but I wasn't drunk. People were looking at me as I was getting on the bus, and you know, you can't really say anything.
Right.
You just got to take it, and I was like, I know this is not my life. Got a job at Church's Popeye's Chicken right there on Whaley Avenue. I became a fryer in the back. I got fired because I was giving away too much chicken at night after the let out.
Okay.
And, you know, because I found out a lot when you go on a new job, when you find out the ins and outs about a job, and they tell you what not to do and show you how to the angles to work.
Right.
I found out that I was working too many angles. And, you know, first one hired, first one fired.
Right.
So, yeah, I learned that. Worked at Whaley Car Wash.
Okay.
Yep. Leo was the manager there. And I got a job there. And then one night, like I said, I just broke down because I said I need help. So I broke down, asked my sister for the Bible. So I opened up right to Proverbs. And Proverbs 1, verse 7. And it said, the beginning of knowledge and wisdom is to fear the Lord or revere. And I said, I threw the Bible down. I said, I'm the dumbest man in the world. And from ever since then, when I try to go after and acknowledge God and give him credit for giving me the chance, my life has not went up quick. It always stayed at a pace, and I've always had a way to come out of whatever I was doing.
So that was the moment for you.
That was the moment for me, is to revere that there is something going on out here besides us,
right,
and this flesh.
Juan Castillo with you. This is Electric Drum speaking with Daryl Menchenko. And he's an inventor. He has an invention out there called the Teeter Toss. And we're going to talk about that in a little while. We're talking about his life and on all the trials and tribulations that he's been through. And we're at the point now where he's talking about how he found the Lord, and it became an extremely important moment in his life. So where do you go from there?
Well, I went from there... After that acknowledgement, and giving reference to him, Fear, Revere. I ended up meeting a girl by the name of Shalece Clayton at Yale at the Elks Club. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine came in with some girls. They happened to be from Yale. And then I met her, and she was number one in her class in Chicago, and she went to Yale for architect. Wow. She was African-American.
Wow.
And I was with her for 2.5 years. So the next year, I said, well, she's going to college. I got to go to college.
Okay.
So I went, and everything lined up for me. My friend told me about Jean John Goriev.
Okay.
He was the dean of Students Affairs at UNH, minorities.
Yes.
And he said, Darryl, you're not going to, we don't need you here. He said, you need to go to college. And he sent me the financial aid, and I ended up walking on and being, living on campus.
Okay.
This all happened in a matter of,
right,
I could say not even 5 months. I was in college.
Did you graduate?
No, I didn't graduate.
Okay.
But I did get baptized.
But you got baptized. I got baptized. That's graduation?
I didn't graduate.
Right.
Because, like I said, it was hard living off the student fund they had there. I had a work study. I lived right down in New Haven. I was not focused on college. College was not my focus.
Right.
You know, and after that, the grind, got a dishwashing job at Sereno's across the street from Channel Way Action News. Worked there for 5 years as a busboy. Got my first taste of a seminar by Mike and Irene Milam on how to build real estate. I was always into trying to venture out and do things to keep myself busy because I had that dream. And I wasn't going to let it go because I knew that's all I had. I didn't have anything else. So I was always trying to pursue and venture out and do things like that. And me and Shalece Clayton, I convinced her to go up to Burlington, Vermont, where it's a boom town now. Mm-hmm. Back then it was in 1988. And I got all of this material, went up to Hartford to the seminar. Didn't have a lot of money, enough money, but they still gave me the kit because I asked.
Right.
You know, and brought it home, and I saw the key word for owning real estate, which was owner financing. Okay. The guy was up there. He had 42 acres of land, no money down, 7-year balloon, and got into the venture. They gave us the land, and here I go again, doing the dumb stuff. And me and her ended up breaking up because the deal, we weren't ready to do that.
Right.
You know, we were... I was weighing over my head and not knowing about the relationship that I was going to have with her, which was going to be a professional one. But when you're dealing with feelings like that, nah, it wasn't going to work. We were too young to invest that early.
Okay.
I was 19. She was 20.
Okay.
We weren't ready for that.
Right.
But it was an experience. She ended up graduating, and I ended up staying here in New Haven. Moving on and venturing out and doing dumb things
again
in my life. Yeah, always doing something dumb, making bad decisions, hanging around the wrong crowd. You know, I smoked marijuana then, didn't help. So I kind of put myself through the ringer.
Right.
And
so when did it start turning around for you?
It started turning around, believe it or not.
Get that mic up.
When I got out of jail.
So you ended up going to do a bid.
I turned 30 in jail. And
where were you?
I was up at I was in Uncasville.
Okay.
And that was the correctional institution. It was Corrigan.
Corrigan, yeah.
Yep. Locked down for 21 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's when I learned how to cut hair.
You learned how to cut hair when you were there.
Yep. I always had it in my dream to cut hair. So, yeah. That's when I got my guinea pig on.
Right.
I was able to.
So you came home.
And got a job at the Long Wharf. I ain't going to name the name, but delivering produce. And the boss came to me one day when I got hired. And he told one of the black African gentleman that I knew to help me get the job to go up there and get the lettuce like a little monkey. And then I looked at him like he was crazy. Mm. Then I looked at the owner like, I wish you would, because I just got hired. I'll quit in a minute.
Right.
And I knew that that was going to be my turning point at that job that day. So a year later came around. I was the only one in the warehouse. And he said, "Darryl, I got a ticket. I want you to pull this for me. Let's go." Grabbed my cart, my hand truck, started stacking stuff, and he did it. He told me to go up there like a good little monkey and get that lettuce. And then I looked at him, because he was old, from the old school.
Right.
I knew that was his way of having fun, but right. It wasn't funny to me.
Right.
So I said, "Joe, you know what? God didn't put me here on this earth for you to call me that or treat me like this." I said, "I never miss a day. I've been here for over a year." I said, "Rather me take you in the tomato room and beat you up and go to jail and do something stupid so you could call the cops." I said, "Instead of me being reactive, I said, I'm going to be proactive. And I'm going to do something that I've never done before." And I put in my 2 weeks' notice. My brother at the time was delivering bread for Sunbeam. He got me a job there. I golfed at that time. I didn't get to that part about me being an inventor. But I golfed at that time. I got my golf membership for a year, $500. And then I turned around and I said, "I'm going to go cut hair. That's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
Step out on my dream." And I went to Josie's Big Apple on Dixwell Avenue.
Yeah.
To go, because she had a little school there. I knew a couple of barbers that got
Julio.
Their license.
Julio.
Yep. And, Julio.
Yeah.
He was her assistant. And I went there, but I noticed one thing was wrong with me. I quit Sunbeam. I went to go to school through the financial aid program that right. She knew about. And I said, "All right, I'm going to barber school. I got my credentials to go play golf." I said, "But I don't have a job." I didn't realize that I didn't have a job, but I was going to school to cut hair.
Right.
Because I quit my job.
Right.
So I immediately grabbed my clippers in desperation and went down to a barber named Harold. Have flavor in your ear.
Yes.
Right across the street from Dexter's.
Yes.
He let me sit in the chair, and he said, "Yeah, Darryl, come on." But he said one thing that I really didn't like. He didn't want to help me. So I said, "I got to get out of here." So the next morning, I went across town to Mo Love's on the corner of Lombard and Row. And I went in, saw the brother, Rock. He told me, "You got to come back, that the guy wouldn't be here until another hour." Came back. I asked him. His name was Pooh. I said, "Can I cut hair?" He said, "Well, I got to see you make a cut. Do a fade." He said, "You got to go give me a demo or something." So I went right down to the across the street from Broadway, Yale, now it's Apple, the soup kitchen. And I went in there and I asked somebody, "Who wants a haircut?" So everybody threw their hands up.
Right.
So I got the guy that I thought I could cut his hair the best,
right.
Kind of like your hair, I thought was easy.
Yeah.
So I brought him back there. And next thing I know, I finished cutting his hair. I done blood, sweat, and tears. I lost like 20 pounds probably. And then I brought him to him, my demo, and I said, "Here you go." And he said to me, he said, "When do you want to start?"
Wow.
So I turned around, dropped that brother off at the soup kitchen, came right back, and I made $75 that on a Thursday, and I never looked back.
Wow. That's awesome, man. And you're still in that business, but we're gonna veer off of that for a minute.
Right, 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 right.
You know, so let's talk about the inventing, right? When did you realize that you could invent things, man?
I was on the golf course because one of my tricks was from washing dishes back at Sereno's, across the street from Channel 8, during my college days after that. I had a trick. I used to go in the Yellow Pages, and since I knew about restaurants and dishwashers,
yeah,
did the grunt work, I said, "All right, let me call a couple of these restaurants. Call them on Wednesday, Thursdays, or Fridays, even Saturdays, after 12 o'clock, because that's when they're prepping." And I asked them, "Do they need any kitchen help?"
Okay.
And back then, you know, in the 90s, you could call 3 or 4 jobs, especially washing dishes, because the Spanish, you know, the Mexicans, they didn't invade yet.
Yeah,
they didn't fully take over yet. They were coming this way up north, but they didn't take over the kitchens yet.
Yeah.
So by the time I called 5, but by the time I called 3, I always had a job. So I got the job at Western Hills. I was in Waterbury during my hustling days.
Right.
That's when this revelation came.
Yeah.
And he said, do you want to start tonight? I said, nah, I'll start the next day. I was on the golf course washing dishes at Western Hills golf course in Waterbury, Connecticut. And the pros took me out, showed me the basics of golfing, fell in love with golf. And in my latter years, I was watching a golfer. He did something. I knew he needed help. And I said, you need this. And he ran behind me with his golf cart. He said, Darryl, that's a great idea. And I said, yep, but I'm never going to tell anybody. And that's when I first figured out, from one idea, I've got 7 inventions.
So what did you invent that you said he needed that? What was it?
I can't reveal because that's my main one.
I understand.
That one
right
there, I'm ready to take that to George Foreman.
When
I met his son, I told him I'm saving that for him. But out of that one invention, it was like a rapper going in the studio or an artist coming with that first canvas.
Right.
Or a singer singing that first song, it starts to snowball.
So
one idea, I got 7.
So take me to the steps though. So when you're trying to invent something, you're drawing it out, right?
Well,
what are you doing?
Well, the key to being an inventor, and everybody does it. We're all inventors every day.
Okay.
We invent ourselves every day.
Yeah.
Because I don't know nobody's day that goes by perfect.
Right.
Something goes wrong where you have to
go in a different direction.
Right. And you got to make changes.
Yeah,
because we're solving a problem.
Right.
Okay. All inventors do is solve problems.
So I'm inventing all the time.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
So that's the key to invent. You know, just today, what the problem is today with all the technology, kids don't have a chance to really focus on themselves and sit down and find out who they are.
Right.
Because they got everything preoccupying their real space.
Right.
You know, so they don't have time to really dig in and figure out what's my problem.
Right.
You know, what let me have a little compassion and stop thinking about the world and start thinking about the people that's in it.
Right.
You know, we don't do that. We always think about ourselves and stuff. The TV's going, the radio's going. You know, you got YBC, that beat humming in your ear.
Right.
You know, you got the your texting, you know. We don't take time to really think about each other.
Okay.
And, you know, with today's, everybody's saying there's all these problems in the world. But won't you sit down and fix one of them?
Right. That's inventing.
That's inventing.
Wow. Wow.
Everybody has that in them. Just that, you know, we don't take the time. See, when we were little, we went into a room. There was no TV. There was no phone. There was no radio. So what you had to do in your mind was keep yourself. We had to envision and make ourselves happy.
I remember being in my room growing up, and I invented games, right? And I used to keep statistics of my games. And so I would take a little piece of paper, throw up that paper into a little ball, and the ledge of the doors, right? You know, you got the ledge at the top.
Yep.
It was basketball. So
right.
I would be throwing that thing up against there, and when it hit the ledge, probably
hit that spot,
then that was a point, right? So I would have teams and tournaments, and I would have all this information. My mother would come into the room and say, "What is this? What are you doing?" And that's how I started having a love for basketball.
Amen.
But it also taught me how to have a love for numbers and statistics.
Right.
And averages and all of that, right? So I get that. I definitely get that. That's fantastic. So go ahead, brother.
That's the base of solving your own problem, which is preoccupying your own time.
Right.
And that vision that you get. And I try to tell everybody, I said, if you can envision it, it's going to happen.
You're absolutely right.
So I tell people, it's going to sound funny, I said, get your own Stevie Wonder vision.
Yeah.
And the reason why I say that is because the bank robber has a vision of robbing the bank.
I had a visual that I was going to be on the mic talking to you when I wasn't even on the radio.
Of course.
It was a vision. I visually saw it.
that's why this is going to flow a little bit better now. It gets better and better.
It's a beautiful thing. So while you're trying to survive,
mm-hmm.
while you're trying to live your life and to overcome all those obstacles, brother, that you went through, right? You know, you got all these ideas in your mind about all these inventions that you want to do, right? Mm. And so in the meantime, you know, you enter the barbering, right? You got that going.
Yep,
right?
I entered into that, and right. that was my vision.
Right,
because
right.
see, barbers, when before you even sit in a chair, we already know how we're gonna cut you.
So now you eventually ended up getting your own barbershop, right?
I ended up taking over a barbershop and managing it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
I
awesome.
Manage barbershop.
I get that.
That's it, yeah.
I understand. And so now let's talk about Teeter Toss.
All right, Teeter Toss, believe it or not, a lot of people don't understand. My first invention that I really got was soft toss golf.
Okay.
And soft toss golf was a piece of my original idea from the golf course.
Okay.
And then I made a game out of that.
I see.
And then I needed an investor. So I walked the streets for like 3 years. And I kept walking by this one prominent black man's business for mm-hmm. 3 years. His name was Wendell Hart. Tony yes. Hart's husband. The yes. great Wendell Hart.
Yes.
And I came to him with this idea, and he saw that I did a lot already. I had a marketing plan. I opened a business name. And what I do is I give away on my website, if you go to DarrylMinchenko.com, DarrylMinchenko.com, the first thing that pops up after you see my awards that I won is this free dream kit. In the dream kit, when you download it, I get you to start to move on your idea, your venture, your startup, any kind of job seeking. And I give that back for free because that's what eventually got me my deal with Go for Sport. Because 8 years ago, I put everything down and put it away. And I already had invented Teeter Toss, but I never told Mr. Hart or anybody about it.
Right.
Because he sent me to China with soft toss golf. I know we going back.
That's all right.
Around,
that's all right.
But he sent me to China. And that's a whole story in itself.
Right.
You know, I was an urban inventor in China by myself for 30 days. And I had to come back with answers. Or he wasn't going to write me more checks.
Okay.
So I had to get him to write the checks. And that means I had to keep moving forward on my idea. And I don't mean to jump
That's okay.
into that. But Teeter Toss was birthed because of soft toss. And how I got to China, I was with him for a year and a half. We were doing baby steps. We needed a mold injector. And he was sending the product to Wisconsin. That's funny because Gopher's out of Wisconsin.
Okay.
But they weren't the people.
Right.
And So I told him I rushed in on the office one day. He liked to do his work at night. And I said, well, what are you doing, Mr. Hart? He said, I'm writing this check. I looked at the check. I said, you writing a check for what? He said, for the putter. We had a problem with the putter.
Right.
And I said, wouldn't you be better off sending me there? See, unbeknownst to me, I already had the solution to the problem. Mm-hmm. But see, sometimes people could blur your vision. Not intentionally.
Right,
but,
right.
What happened was, I said, you know what, Mr. Hart? I said, let me tell you something. If you're going to send me that kind of money to figure out a problem that you can't, I said, I'll never figure it out. I said, I'll go to Walgreens where I got my prototype made by hand for under $10, and I'll pocket the rest of the money and give you something, you know. I'll
right.
go to Home Depot and put something together.
Right.
He got so mad at me that he said, okay, you think you could do this? And, you know, we got into a heated argument because
right.
now I'm talking about his money.
Yeah, right.
Like he's throwing it down the drain.
Exactly.
Hey, it is what it is.
Right.
And next thing you know, within 2 weeks, I landed in Beijing on probation.
Wow.
Told my probation officer, I'm going to China. I said, could I go? I was like, oh, you let people leave, but
that's awesome, yeah, man.
It's a fun, and you can actually see it when you YouTube DarrylMinchenko.com right. or Soft Toss Golf. You can see my trip to China. I put it up there.
Can you explain a little bit about what Teeter Toss is?
All right, what Teeter Toss is was when I had Soft Toss Golf sitting in front of me. I said, now, and I just came from Pittsburgh and won a silver medal for it.
Okay.
Right, because I entered it in the Impex Invention Convention in 2006.
Okay.
I said, I got to get this thing in a contest or something. It's a nice game. And they gave me a silver medal. So I came back an award-winning inventor. And then I said, well, how can I protect this? Because people, when they see this, the innovators are going to start thinking, how could they break this down and make money off of it?
Right.
And get ideas from it. But so I said, what if I could get that pole to move? What if I could get that pole to move? So I was thinking, let me get that pole to move.
Right, exactly.
I said, how can I get it to move? And I'm that type of tinkerer. Anything around me, like we were back, we're going to make it happen.
Right.
So I said, you know what? I'm going to put a spring in a pole. And it should teeter back and forth. And I should get a response. You can also see that on YouTube, too. I show you my
And I just want to tell folks, you know, I'm looking at a picture of this, right? And basically what this is, there's a base, right? There's a pole, right, coming from the base all the way up. How many feet? I mean,
it comes up 2.5 feet.
2.5 feet. Now, if you know about, you know.
PVC pipes.
PVC pipes. Okay.
That's all that is.
All right. Is that what that is? Okay. And then what the idea of the game is for you is you have rings, right? And you have to throw the rings at this pole. Now this pole moves. So once you throw the first one, the pole is going to start moving. So when you get ready to throw the next one, now you got to throw at this pole that is moving back and forth, right? Teetering.
Right.
You know? The concept is based on when you do the short, you know, when you know, back in the day with the horseshoe mm-hmm. thing, right? You know, mm-hmm. that people used to play, right? This is on a complete different level because you got teams that play this, right? So you play this in teams and and tournaments. So you got this in some school systems. Right.
Well, it's funny that you said that because Gopher has been around for 70 years. They started in 1947.
Right.
It's their 70th anniversary. And they have a catalog in every school in America, Canada, Australia, and they do business in 60 countries.
Right.
And their main focus is physical education.
Right.
So what you just said is exactly what they do.
Right.
See, they're good when it comes to institutions and that that's their market.
Right.
What they're not good at is advertising to the public.
Right.
So that gives me a great job to do, you know, because I like.
So we can have a WYBC Teeter Toss tournament.
Oh, man, it would be lovely.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, because people love that game.
I'm inventing right now.
If you write a great, great idea. So if you go to Teeter Toss, if you YouTube Teeter Toss, T-E-E-T-E-R, on your phone, T-O-S-S, right. It'll come up. I got this in the water. I got this in, I just left Central, I just left New York. And I got in on Good Morning America. Not an interview, but I got in there.
Right.
And it was back to school. And I put it all on YouTube. I got three or four videos.
This is fantastic. And, you know, and believe me, when, you know me, family out there, you know when I say something and that I'm going to do it, it's going to happen. So we're going to have a Teeter Toss tournament, man.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to do.
That'd be great.
Me and you going to get together. We're going to have a tournament.
Hey, we could do that, too. Yeah.
It's
a pretty good game.
But brother, you know, you've been through a lot, you know, in your life, man. And for you to have the perseverance, man, and the courage for you to hang in there through it all, it's extremely inspirational to me and obviously now to this community, right? You know, and I wish you all of the success in the world, man, you know, because you've earned it, you know. But most important, I want to say this, right? I am committed to working with ex-offenders. I go up to Osborne, and I'm working with ex-offenders up there. I'm extremely committed that when they come home, they got a sponsor. They got somebody like me who's also been locked up that has some kind of pull in terms of jobs and in terms of, you know, having someone there that understands and that cares and that can continue to give you hope. Because you know what that's all about, right? You know, yeah. If you don't have hope, what do you have?
And that's one of the reasons why, Juan, I would love for you, when you get a chance, to download my dream kit. Because you can make copies.
Right.
Because
I'm going to do that.
All of those guys, like myself, had an idea. Everybody has an idea.
Right.
And my dream is to, my dreams are coming true, but my real dream is to go around and show people how I did this with no money down. And I did it with my dream kit.
Really?
And the reason why I did it with my dream kit, this is very important, because my ignoramus, I got over it after 8 years. I finally went and got a toy broker. So my toy broker saw soft toys, didn't know I had teeter toys, and she gets 30 to 40%.
Right.
So I said, well, can I get the physical education part? She says, yeah, dear, I just do toys. I get Canada, South America, and you could try to go do your deal with any sports. And Go for Sport was my first entry. And the first thing, when I saw Go for Sport, I went on there, I punched in physical education. And the first one that popped up was Go for Sport. And I went on their catalog, and I said, God, I need to be with these people. Mm. So I showed them Soft Toss Golf. She said, because they have quarterly meetings for product development. And she says, nah, Daryl. So I had that eulogy 2 Decembers ago. And she said, Daryl, I'm going to show it again. And I said, I have another idea. And it was Barry. Soft Toss was in my basement for 8 years in the corner in a suitcase. So 3 days before it, 10 days before it, I took it out, put it together. It worked. Dressed it up. I gave her the video on, I emailed her the video on a Saturday. The meeting was on a Tuesday. I got the email from gophersport.com that Daryl were moving forward with Teeter Toss, and they took the name. I came up with the name.
Right.
And I did it with no money down. I did it with 2 phone calls and 3 emails. And I like to say I thank God so much, because they have a new invention that's coming out. They picked another one of my ideas, and it's called Teeter Toggle. And they're moving forward on that. And every quarter I get to show them, you know, what I do. And what I do is I go to Home Depot, and I go to Lowe's, and I make my own prototypes so I can show them the idea.
Right.
A company doesn't want your patent. They want your ideas. So if you could show them the concept and show the design, look, they hire designers for car dealerships. You ain't no engineer. You ain't putting the engine in it. Right. Just show them the design
right. And
the concept, and they run with it. If you could show them how to save money or make money, they don't care who you are.
Listen, brother, we run out of time, but you'll be back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have you back. Because, you know, your story is extremely inspirational. We want to keep track of your progress and what's going on with you. And we're going to talk about a tournament, man.
it's going to happen.
I'm ready. Thank you so much, my brother, for coming.
Okay, thank you.
Juan Castillo with you. I know you've been inspired today. I know I have. Keep listening to the Rhythm of the City, 94.3 WYBC. I will see you next week.